Our scripture this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Bible, from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. And the Israelites have been rescued from Egypt and they are wandering in the desert. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it'll be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." And then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I've heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a new layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Let us pray. O Lord, let the wisdom of your word rain down on us like manna and feed us, that we may be strengthened to do the work to which we are called, for the glory and honour of your name. Amen. I drove down to Los Angeles this week with my brother, and our journey was so different from 40 years ago when we were children. And each summer we used to vacation at the beach. And we got in the car with my parents and my two brothers. And we would drive, and we spent, probably about 4 hours traveling to our vacation spot each year. And it seemed like an eternity to me as a child. Are we there yet? How much longer till we get to the beach? When can we stop and go to the bathroom? I'm too hot. He's hitting me. I don't feel good. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. Are we there yet? And we asked and asked and whined and whined. But it's not just children who have this tendency. Sometimes we ask or whine as adults too. The Israelites complained. All of them. It said the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They said, "If only we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." But you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You know, I'm sure Moses and Aaron felt considerably worse than the two dads in the front seat of a minivan. We've brought you out of slavery. We saved you from oppression, Moses and Aaron might have said. We've taken you to the beach and Hershey Park. Yes, but when are we going to Disney? Wine, wine, wine. Did we bring any snacks? When can we stop for a snack? I'm hungry. It would have been better for God's own hand to have killed us in Egypt. At least we had enough to eat there. You know, I wonder how much we're like the Israelites. We look through rose-colored glasses at the past with our somewhat selective memories. But in reality, yes, some of the things of the past were absolutely wonderful. But today, or yesterday, we also lived in a world of segregation and institutionalized racism, a world with inequality for women, where women weren't expected to pursue a career, and a world where most non-straight people had to stay in the closet. Was the past really better than now? Or different, just different? Or if we pause to think instead of whine, can we accept that there are still some things that, while still being far from perfect, are a great improvement on before? Maybe God has a plan and he's leading us towards it. Perhaps our scripture today is a reminder to pause in the middle of our whining and remember how far we have come. Yes, things are different. But God is still providing daily manna and quail, or Dutch crust bread and salmon, or pizza and canned goods to eat with our neighbors. Maybe we should stop our complaining and live into the life that God is leading us to. You know, I looked up manna in the dictionary. Number one, it said the food miraculously supplied to the Israelites in the wilderness. Number two, it said divine or spiritual food. And then it gave a third definition. Manna, it said, is a sudden or unexpected help. And to the Israelites, with their grumbling stomachs, both the manna and the quail were certainly an unexpected form of help. Food in the shape of manna and quail had appeared suddenly to satisfy their hunger. Both of these foods were familiar phenomena in the area where the Israelites were traveling. The quails migrate over the region in the spring, and when they're exhausted, they're easily caught. But there's a few different theories as to what the manna was. Perhaps it's the sweet, sticky substance produced by insects which feed on the tamarisk bushes, and then the honeydew excretion falls to the ground and the hot desert air dries it, making it eminently edible. Other scholars cast in votes that manna was a type of lichen or fungi, or a cautious species of locust, or the sap of an appetite-suppressing plant. And that there's the possibility that manna was a celestial concoction, altogether different from any earthly thing. But whatever you think it was, to the Israelites it was sudden and it was unexpected. To these fatigued and hungry people, this sudden help was evidence of God's compassionate care and love for them, even when they had doubts about God's faithfulness to them. It's a reminder story for us that whenever we find ourselves in uncharted territory, we can count on God journeying with us and listening and sending us unexpected and often surprising help. Yes, even when we get scared and start grumbling and complaining. And not only were the manna and quail sudden, they were also unexpected. Because they had a plan A. The Israelites had a plan A. They wanted flour and oil to make bread, so that they could make the bread the same way that they did in Egypt. That's what they were looking for and asking God to provide. But plan B is what God provided. Plan B was that unknown flaky substance that when ground and baked tasted like honey. Plan B was God's answer to their complaining. And it came every morning. Now, if I was an Israelite, I think I would struggle to see that this flaky substance could be made into bread, because it doesn't look like the flour that we used back in Egypt. I might fixate on not having bread like I know bread used to be, and not being able to see the gift of what I have in this flaky substance. But then I might realize that it was God's unexpected answer to my prayers. So what problems are we facing today for which we believe the answer is plan A, and that's the only thing we can see? What is God's unexpected plan B that's in front of us, that we are ignoring? What unexpected answers, what blessings are there that we have overlooked? Because God is faithful, God is trustworthy. And perhaps the answers we get are not the ones that we expect. But once we recognize that those answers are in front of us and that our prayers have been answered, we still have our part to play. Think about it. Think about the story we just had. Every single night, God sent the manna, and the Israelites woke up and got out of their tents, and before the sun got too hot, they went and gathered this manna, and then they had to grind it and beat it and boil it and make something of it. That's quite an image. Each night, when we sleep and gain strength for the next day, God has rained down and provided for us exactly what we need for that day. But then it's up to us to get up, to go and gather it, and to make something of it, make something edible, tasty, and satisfying out of it. Every single morning for the long haul. Isn't that incredible? You know, an article I read this week put it this way: sleep, wake, gather, make. Sleep, wake, gather, make. Sleep, wake, gather, make. Our relationship with God is a great partnership. God rains the blessings down, but it's our job to make something new out of it, something new out of what we've been given today, and to trust in God's faithful provision for the days ahead. So when we find ourselves complaining at God and saying things like, "Are we there yet? We're hungry," we need to hold on to those promises of God. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God will listen to us and lead us to life. But it's probably going to be different to the life that we've imagined. God's ways are good, but they may take some recognizing. They're often unexpected and surprising forms of help. God will provide the manna. What is it? It's enough for today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for providing direction and nourishment for your people of old. And we thank you today for the ways that you still listen to us, even when we moan and groan. Help us to trust that you hold the future and will make a way through the wilderness, morning after morning. Give us eyes to see the manna that you provide, and help us to work in partnership with you to gather and make something with what we find. In the name of Christ, the bread of life, we pray. Amen.